whatever is going to come through. So I'll begin. I'll say, you know, who I am, what my background is, and what we're doing here tonight. My name is Judy Thomases, and I'm an astrologer, a member of two of the national organizations, American Federation of Astrology and the NCGR, which is the National Council for Geocosmic Research, fancy name, but it's the other second main astrological organization internationally. So astrologers, if they're, you know, serious, join these organizations. These organizations put out trade journals and have a code of ethics. So that's, you know, what you're getting if you get like a member, an astrologer who's a member of one of these. So I've been doing this for about 38 years. Did you see Del Horoscope magazine ever on the newsstands? It's that little magazine, and it's, you know, a full-fledged magazine with a glossy cover and kind of newspaper print pages. Anyhow, I've had a number of articles in there, and in this October issue, I'll have an article. It'll be probably be on the newsstands in September. It's a little hard to find. So what happens when people come to see an astrologer? They may be looking for, like, predictions, you know, tell me what's coming, tell me what's going to happen. And we can do that. As you know, there's mathematical ways to see what aspects are forming. So we have some more people here. Good. Do a little pause and wait to see who's here. Oh, it's Sonia. Okay. We'll need more chairs?
No, we'll be good.
We'll be good. Yeah, there's plenty of chairs. We'll just expand the circle. Hi, Sonia. Hi, sweetheart. Hi, Mary. Hi. You made it. Oh, with the rain and the thunder and everything. Yeah. Well, very dramatic, you know? Very dramatic.
Leave the door unlocked a little bit here just so in case there's some more people.
Or there's plenty of chairs that you pull over. Nobody's sitting here.
We have a coffee and juice in the refrigerator here, different juices. There might be water. I'm not sure what they've got. The bathroom is, for those of you who haven't been here before, the bathroom's right through here. The light switches on the left-hand side when you go in, so just, you know, put the switch.
Right. Okay. Cool.
I'm sorry, Judy. I just didn't want to see what that's about.
No, this is perfectly natural, perfectly normal. So people who come to get an astrological reading, are, you know, they're looking for different things, and what will happen with myself and with most astrologers is you're going to use software to generate a wheel, a horoscope wheel. That's going to be based on your date and especially your time of birth, so that's like really critical. And then that is then kind of dissected. Second and sometimes third wheels are run as well, and the astrologer looks at this and has to figure out what is the pattern here. The pattern will show what you've come here to experience from the original choices that you made. So this is called your natal horoscope, your natal chart, and it tells us that you have a general pattern that's going to have some limitations, and it's going to have some blessings or some talents and some luck in it. There will be varying degrees of that. You will also have within, built into that general pattern, you will have like a year where you may encounter a true love. by the way, I've seen that at work, not only with romance, but like a person who adopts a child and that's a soul tie and stuff like that. Hi, come on in. We only just started. Thanks for braving the rain and the tea storms and all of that. Yeah? Wow.
I thought I left it there.
Oh, well, we can use a little of it here. I'm Judy. Hi, so there's still chairs. And for newcomers, if you don't have one of these, take one of these. So, here's a, when you get settled down and everything, there's a sign-up sheet if you want to get a newsletter from me, a freebie. We can go around a little bit after I do this intro and, you know, say what our names, our signs, maybe, you know, our towns. So the intro is just to tell you that what you get when you see a legitimate astrologer is you should get something of a picture of what you have come here to work with, to experience, to be challenged by, to learn wisdom from, to have some chance to be creative and play with life. And then there are techniques that move this original chart, this pattern, move it forward into the current era, and then explain what energy patterns you would be facing. So the energy patterns are not totally set in stone. And to some degree, you will face those general patterns, and to another large degree, you'll be able to make choice within that. So we could call that your karma, your karmic pattern. So I'm going to pause on that note. That's my teaser note. And let's go around the room and learn a little bit about each other. Okay, I'll start. I'm Judy Thomas, originally from New York, now from Magnolia, and I'm a Capricorn.
I'm Peggy Lavasser, and I'm from Maryland, and I'm Sagittarius.
My name is Scott Melvin. I'm from out in Sandtown, and I'm a Pisces.
Hi.
My name is Nanette. I'm a Leo.
From?
Oh, Delaware.
Okay. Wilmington. Right, Newark. Right.
And my name is Mary, and I'm a Taurus, and I'm from Magnolia.
Originally from?
Originally from Philadelphia area.
I'm Sonia, I'm a Pisces. I live in Magnolia, but I'm originally from England.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Teresa Malagla. I'm originally from Philly. I live in Smyrna. I'm a Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Becca Brown. I'm originally from Colorado. I live in Dover, and I am a Cancer.
Okay.
I'm Jim Lee. I was born and live in Wilmington, and I'm a Scorpio.
And I'm Chi-Chi, and I'm from Lewis, and I'm a Sagittarian.
Okay, so we have a mixture. There's water, fire. I didn't hear any air. There's no Geminis, no Libras, no Aquarius. Okay. And we're Tanya. We didn't hear from Tanya. Okay, we need you. We need your air sign in the room. Your name, your sign, and your town.
My name is Tanya.
What's my name?
I'm Tanya. I'm a Gemini, and my town.
Yeah.
I'm living in Dover now.
Dover. Okay. So we have a pretty good mix of all the elements in the room here. Okay. Good. Yeah. We needed your air.
Oh.
You were the only air sign. We can't breathe. We can't breathe.
I just, in case Jim had mentioned, you know, and you have candles,
and
it's a good idea because of the thunder out there. So I placed a couple more here. So we're really
good.
Okay.
Here, so I'm just getting one more. Do all the protection and all the good energies that we can use. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, two houses on fire and struck by lightning.
Really? Wow.
Fire trucks were both going out.
Just now?
When I left Maryland.
Whoa. Okay. I don't know. As soon as you hear thunder and lightning, you see the fire engines or the police cars.
Well, they closed the Bay Bridge.
Did they?
So the storm is over.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be a fast-moving one.
It is fast.
Yeah.
When you were talking about energy patterns, are you talking about aspects?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes. Everything in the chart is a pattern. It's energy. It's tied in with planets, but planets symbolize energies. And I don't really want to go there right now, but if you go into quantum physics, there's no solidity of anything. So what's a planet but another concept, another symbol? It's certainly in our telescopes and looks solid and real to us, but we're learning in this era that there is no real solidity, that we're all in a thought form. So we have stepped into an energy pattern with our first breath. And that contains not only what we are wanting to experience now, this time around, but it also contains stuff that we have brought from previous go-rounds. We have brought wisdom. We have brought some baggage. And that may have been where we took actions that could have harmed another or not helped ourselves. And so we're choosing this life as a means of evolving and experiencing the consequences of previous actions. So this is the note that I'll start on, because the talk is about astrology and karma. Is there anybody who is not familiar with the term karma? Everybody in the room has some experience of it. Okay. Well, I've thought about karma in metaphysical terms. What is it? And we're all familiar with the phrase, what goes around comes around, right? Okay. Now, that seems to presuppose some kind of closed system. Because if you send out an action, a negative thought, or anything, even something good, karma can come back to you as in a good way, in a positive. If you have sent it out for it to ripple outwards and then return to you to be a circle or a wheel, then something about our infinite universe is a closed system. I thought about that, and I said, well, what, you know, we know that it keeps expanding and it's basically infinite, but there was a beginning, which scientists call the Big Bang. So before that, there was something other than this universe. There can also be alternate universes, but whatever it is, what we call karma is an action that has been sent out and returns to us in a form that is like a teaching. It's not punishment. And I have heard, or let's see, on Facebook, I saw somebody say, I'm going to give you good karma. And it bothered me, it rubbed me wrong. I had to type my little answer in that you can't give somebody karma like you're gifting them, you know. It's the consequence, the ripple effect, the return.
Is it like what I usually do, send out love or caring, good feelings to other people? And a friend of mine told me, you know what happens when you send good feelings out to other people? I'm like, what? You get it back.
Yeah, it comes back. It comes back. All of these things that are sent out as actions. I looked it up in the dictionary just to see what that definition was. And the dictionary definition is the doctrine of responsibility for all one's acts in all incarnations. And this explains and justifies good and bad luck. So we are talking about learning to be responsible for your actions and your thoughts. I brought the two cards of the tarot, of the majors, that indicate the main law of the universe, which is called the law of cause and effect. And it is the wheel card. What goes around comes around. The law the main law of the universe. That's what we're taught. And the symbols in the card include the four fixed signs, the bull, the lion, the eagle, and man. So that's Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. These are considered the pillars of the universe, that which holds the whole game together. And the wheel can go one way or another, and it has a lot of important symbols on it. Point is that as you become more conscious, you become more aware that what you are creating, what you are doing, what you're sending forth has consequences. And this is the way that, say, younger souls who have less experience with earth life learn not to create suffering for others. They also maybe learn not to create it for themselves. How do they learn that? Let's say that you have, oh gosh, there's plenty of examples in human history of brutal people who are, you know, torture others or do awful things, totally insensitive, just miserable human beings. No amount of imprisonment, killing them, no amount of any persuasion is going to really get through to most of them. They're going to live and die in the mentality that they were in to create that, to do that to people. So the way that gets taught, the way the lesson gets taught, is that the that type of individual, that soul, returns in a different life. And in that life may need, actually, or choose to be on the receiving end of some type of gross force or painful relationships or whatever. Nobody is cracking the whip. Okay, it's the individual saying, in between lives, I'll try to experience the other end of things. There's actually a metaphysical term called a monad. The monad, spelled M-O-N-A-D, is a unit where two aspects of a relationship are experienced. So it could be, you know, I'm taking extreme examples, somebody who kills another and somebody who is killed. But then they can switch roles. Now, that brings me to the idea of this other card, the Justice card, which follows the World card. And the Justice card holds scales and holds a sword and represents the universe being in perfect balance. That it's a very fair and just universe. Nobody is a victim for like the wrong reasons. Nobody is here getting the experience of being damaged or harmed for no reason. So you're either too young to know better and inflicting this harm on another, and then coming back around and being on the experiencing end, or you could also grow in wisdom by realizing that in some of your younger lifetimes you maybe weren't so saintly, and you come back deliberately to rebalance that particular episode. And people do that by rescuing others. You'll hear tales of amazing sacrifice and rescues of a perfect stranger. That would put everything back in balance. People come back who might be doctors who heal people in wartime and manage to save lots and lots of souls. That could be reparation for, you know, harmful acts way, way back in previous lives. You don't have to do this linearly. You don't have to say, well, I did harm this time, so next, right away, next time I'm going to rebalance the scales. And the sword is kind of like discrimination. It's always like perception and discrimination and cutting the wheat from the chaff. It's really only so much, no more. Everything in perfect kind of like evenness, fairness. And as you sow, so shall you reap. You know, that's what we are taught. So that's the concept of what karma is all about. If anybody wants to look at that, feel free. Okay. So don't think of it as anything that is deliberately done to you. It's not punishment. You chose it. You designed your life around it, and then you take a birth. And then we see in the natal chart, oh, okay, so you've got this and this combination. That means that you're going to live through certain experiences, and they may not all be comfortable, but they may be great producers of wisdom, okay? And then you will also see in the natal chart, oh, this is really lucky and fabulous and lots of talent here and lots of skills there. And what you're doing is, well, you honed those skills before and you deliberately said, well, I'll kind of bring this along if I'm going to take care of that thing. You know, if I'm going to, like, do this work, well, I'll need luck, I'll need certain skills to do it, and I'll combine my all the previous stuff, my tools. So then we end up looking at charts, and I crack up because there's other astrologers, professionals. What's that?
It resets itself if the rocks
Okay. I thought it was somebody coming in a doorway that wasn't even there, or, you know, whatever. There is somebody standing? Okay. So, what was I saying? I was talking about you fellow astrologers will say to me sometimes, like, what was I thinking to take on this maximum challenge? You know, they'll have this like really complicated chart that gets set off periodically and is tough to handle experiences that they are thrown into, and they're saying jokingly, because they get it, what was I thinking? You know, on the soul level, yeah, I want to undertake this. I want to have this challenge. I'm going to face this. I'm going to rebalance some of my ancient negatives. And then in the personality level, you're going, wait a minute. This is bad. This is tough. I didn't sign up for this. You did. Okay. So everything is fair. And that means that the universe is fair. God is fair. Everything is just. Nobody's a victim. Hey. Hi. Here we go. Perfect seat. Yeah. Okay. Thanks everybody for coming in the rain and trudging through. You didn't miss too much. We're talking about karma. We're talking about how it shows up in the natal chart. Okay. Okay. So now, how is karma created? We are here on the earth plane to learn a certain lesson, and you can really boil it down to a single thing with one or two good words. So does anybody want to like make an attempt to say what would be the highest thing that we came here to learn, to grow into, to evolve into? I think it's open, and I think anything that you throw out there might be pretty good.
It's wisdom.
Wisdom, yeah. Is a really good word.
Yeah. To learn from your mistakes, or what you've done. And you know that. I mean, I don't know about anybody else. I know I've done stuff.
Hmm.
and that I've got to fix it this time around.
So you're repairing, and that's a form of wisdom, and everything that you learn from the process is deepening you. Mm-hmm. Good.
I would say enlightenment, in the sense that we keep referring to get closer to God and closer to the, you know, this.
Our inner divine, our inner source. Yeah.
I've heard the term to become a co-worker with God. Like to, like you said, kind of like, you know, keep learning from past experiences to the point where you've, like, shed the bad karma. And I've found for me myself, I've also, when I get emotionally involved with trying to help someone else, sometimes I can take on some of their karma too, and it's like I get some of the effects.
So you don't want to really do that though, right?
Yeah. I've learned from experience.
There you go, that wonderful word, experience. Right, so the idea of getting to the point where you see your potential for creating good, or at least reducing suffering in yourself or others, or something like that. That's co-creation. That's good. Okay.
What I experienced, God experiences also. So, essentially, what I'm feeling, he feels too, is like, he's already experienced it, but he knows how I feel. It's like I'm a conduit.
Okay, so oneness and connection, and yeah. Okay. Those are all great answers. Anybody got anything else? I do, but I don't want to say anything yet.
Define truth.
Truth? Yeah, okay. I think, yeah.
I'm looking for understanding. I feel that I'm at a good point in my life, and I want to be able to enjoy that. I want to be able to understand things in my past and how they led me to where I am.
Okay.
And how I can relate to people.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Perspective and...
Perspective one.
And getting into a good place and being able to sustain it and not sabotaging yourself out of it. And
I'm going to learn how to not sabotage myself.
So that might be peace, inner peace, you know, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
More good words.
How to even feel better than I can.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. There's two types of people, learners and teachers, are here to teach each other. And we're also here to learn something.
Right, everybody. We're all each other's teachers and students. And
if the other person is able to take in it, we're actually helping them to evolve as well.
Yes, so we're all students and teachers. It's the universe learning about itself. We are the aspects of the universe in form. And as such, we are... discovering possibilities, and there's good and there's the bad. So we're in an era where things are waking up and evolving, and maybe a lot of light pouring in, but it's also a chaotic, horrible time with a lot of stress and polarization and anger and, you know, violence. So we can learn more and more as we get closer to our own godlike self. We can learn more and more about how to keep creating the positives, at least in our own lives. So the other word that I wanted to say was connected to the heart. It was connected to love, compassion, to see the other person as yourself, to the oneness thing is not only with God, you know, because God feels very far away. It's with the deepest part of yourself, and then how you and the other person are linked. You're linked through the heart center. So you identify, you have empathy, you try to be kind, you try to create more and better choices for another. That's how you create good karma, by the way. That puts check marks in the, you know, the black column on the ledger sheet instead of the red column. And that's why the Dalai Lama is always saying, be kind. Do an act of kindness. Because it's not like, you know, just a la-di-da phrase that he's throwing out there. It's deep work. It's deep work to encounter everybody, and even people who maybe annoy you. You know, we're human. We're going to... Did you ever meet somebody and you couldn't stand them right away? They didn't even say two words to you.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Maybe you knew them already, you know? And the same thing can be where you meet somebody and you instantly love them. You instantly feel connected, right? Also, this is old stuff, you know? But it's easier to do kind acts to people that you... you know, are close to. It's a little harder to do kindness to strangers. And it's really hard to do kindness to people who bug you, you know. And that's very hard, but you're working on your karma, first of all, and you're also working to illuminate the entire universe when you do this. Okay, and then as far as negative karma, you know, the whole thing here is, I think I lost the card. Okay, here. Okay. This is something I have read about, so I can't attest to it, but if you're not kind to somebody else, you're sort of creating negative karma. But the thing that I've read, which I think is true, is that if you remove another's choice, another's free will choice, you create negative karma. Does that feel right to everybody? Okay. And there's a lot of ways that you can remove somebody's choice, you know, besides removing them from planet Earth. You can stop them from doing things that are their true work or true passion. You can kind of smother them. You know, if you think about it, there's an awful lot of ways that you can take away another person's free will choice. That could be with relationships.
Might always be their best choice.
But how else will they learn?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if you're stopping someone from like overdosing.
Yes, if you're stopping somebody from harming themselves. But you know what? You can suggest it. You can really try to do the best. Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And sometimes those are very hard choices, but you see, that's your choice. So your choice would be how to handle a person who's about to harm themselves or maybe harm another. That would be how much is it suggestion? Are there times when it gets so dangerous that you have to step in? You may do so, but then you may incur karma yourself. Okay, and I think that those are those philosophical conundrums where you really have to weigh, you know, it's not plain and simple. It's not laid out clearly in front of you. And a lot of times we have to struggle with our choices. What do we do now? What do we do for this person? What do we not do? What do we let them learn themselves? That's a big part of parenting is like the phrases that I've learned nowadays with parents are that they're the helicopter parents now with the current generation, and those are the parents that hover around the kids so that they don't get into any trouble. And, you know, that parent, like, tries to make sure that everything goes right for the kid. And then I heard, well, there's also lawnmower parents now. And the lawnmower parent clears the way in front of them, removes all obstacles. So we have, rightly or wrongly, we have a generation of kids who are being perhaps overprotected. And that's a choice being made by the generation of parents who are trying to, you know, their intentions are right. They're not necessarily doing deliberate harm, but maybe that kid needed to, you know, run through the woods and trip and break something. I mean, you you don't know what the free will choice of that individual is. And you can seek to make life as smooth as possible, but that's not always the best choice. So we're in an interesting time when it comes to raising kids and dealing with how not to incur negative karma here and how to do the best job possible with the givens. Okay.
I have six kids, and I will tell you something, that society has gotten to the point where we, for one, can't parent our children. You know, you're not allowed to discipline your children in shape or form that we were disciplined in a way when we were growing up.
Spanking was so it depends whether it was done in moderation or not, and even in a society where then the rules or the authorities or the structures are removing the parent's choice, in a way that's a negativity being built into society. Human society is an experiment that has to figure these things out and test whether this works or that works. And the way you know is when reality bites, when karma comes knocking on your door. So it may happen in this life, it may not happen right away. Earth is a school. We've heard that, right? We've heard that. We are here to learn these lessons, as everybody contributed. Great thoughts, great concepts. And if you come here, that means that you accepted a birth. You said, I'm up for it, I'm signing on, and there is some co-creation going on as to the parameters of that birth. You will definitely, as part of it, accept some type of karmic predicament. That karmic predicament, which is school, Karma 101, Earth Playing 101, is going to have some limitations in it, built in. I can tell you from 37 to 38 years of dealing with clients from all walks of life, that it doesn't matter how much money they have, how much fame they have, and we see this in the headlines all the time. There is built in struggle, suffering, some issue that everybody deals with. You deal with it, you take on a birth, you take on a horoscope. In your horoscope is Saturn. Saturn is called the Lord of Karma, the Taskmaster. And so everybody's dealing somewhere in their life with Saturn. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. So when you choose the birth that you've taken on, and maybe this is, an obvious thought to everyone here, but maybe it's a little bit new. You are deciding at that point who your parents are going to be, what your genetics are going to be, what your gender is going to be. You know, in this life I'm going to be male, female, maybe a little in between. What era you want to incarnate into. You know, what they say about this era, may you live in interesting times. So everybody here said, yeah, I'm up for that, okay. This is a crazy era. Maybe you also decided to do that because you were here in Egypt, which was a society that didn't change for 2,000 years. And that was too static. So maybe you wanted a little action, a little movement, a little adventure in your life. So the era that you chose. Then you chose your personality. You chose things about your skill set. Some people deliberately chose to deal with some disability. That's very possible. You might be doing that because...
It's a handicap.
Right, exactly, the handicap. Uh-huh. I read in one text, which I thought was cool, that some people with epilepsy may have been oversexed in past lives, like, couldn't get enough. Seizures and spasming and things like that. I don't say that is a true statement because I can't back it up. I'm just saying what I read. there are people who incarnate with like a very short stature or something. Maybe they need to learn lessons of humility. Maybe they were like cruel to others. I think it's very difficult to speculate, and we can't really know for sure what a disability might mean. I'm bringing to mind, there's a wonderful movie. It came out, I think, in the 70s with Ellen Burstyn, and it's called Resurrection, if I'm right. And she plays a psychic healer. She was in a terrible car crash, was crippled, worked on herself, healed herself, and then has the ability to heal. And it's the journey that she's on as a psychic healer, because she's very good at it. And at a certain point, she even demonstrates it in front of a group of scientists or doctors. And then towards the end of the movie, she encounters a person with a congenital disease. They're very incapacitating, you know, very twisted up. And as she goes to heal, I guess she gets a psychic message that this person needs their illness. She could heal, but shouldn't. And she pulls back and then stops doing all this kind of visible public healing and lives a much more quieter life. And if I remember, that's how the movie ends. But that was a very wisdom piece in that movie, because there are people here who choose diseases, you know, like lives of physical difficulty. And that may be something that they can be relieved of, healed, move on, but it may also be like essential to their karma in that life. So when I think about stuff like that there's meat to chew on with that kind of concept.
Yeah, that's a hard one. That for me is like really one of the harder things for me to wrap my mind around.
Yeah. You want to take care of everybody and make everything good. You want to remove suffering.
Yeah, people who have those horrible, you know, conditions.
Conditions.
That's right. Chosen that.
Mm.
Yeah, see, I have my mind on that one. It's hard.
How about people come to you as a, you know, a reader, and they're in terrible suffering in relationships or something like that, and you can see where they could change that with different attitude, with different behavior patterns. Certainly psychotherapy comes into that. And they don't want to. Yeah. They are obstinate and prefer to stay in their role of suffering. They're milking it. They're getting something out of it. And you look at them and you can see intense suffering. You know, and what you can do is use words, maybe use some healing abilities to try to lessen it, be kind. But you can't remove that from a person who's not ready,
right.
Nor should you.
Yeah, I have clients like yeah. that, but it's the ones like medical and or something like
yeah.
that, but I think it's difficult for me to understand that part of it.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
And I think part of it too is, like, for me, if it's an adult, you can more understand it.
Yeah.
My problem is with the children.
Yeah. Yeah.
The suffering of the children.
The suffering of the children.
And I was told at one time that infants or young children that die at a young age is because they only had so much karma to fulfill. They came back in this life, fulfilled that karma, and then could move on.
Right. So sometimes the infant could be an old soul who is doing that as a gift to those that they'll leave behind. That could be a gift of opening the heart center, a gift of understanding. There could be all kinds of things that result in when a young, very young child passes way too soon, because they'll have an impact on many lives after that because of their brief stay. And that's not necessarily, oh God, how could a good God be so unfair, right? The universe is in perfect balance. That soul may have signed on, you know, I'll volunteer and I'll X out some of my negative karma and I'll do that. I'll come in briefly and then I'll check out, and then there'll be ripples after that, and those may be very beneficial ripples. We can't know. We can't see it from God's point of view.
There's a book called Going Back on Track and
the People.
And it talks about that, where the two people, the husband and wife, loses the child. But what happens is their hearts start opening up to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I have issues with the whole concept of choosing, because some of the things that I've endured in this life, I know damn well I didn't choose. Okay? And I mean, I just know it, and I cannot conceive of any kind of a universe or any kind of a plane of existence where I would have chosen that.
Put yourself into those circumstances.
Exactly. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I've analyzed it, you know, gone back and forth. I mean, I remember we had a conversation with, you know, a while ago, mm-hmm. the meetups, like, and that stuck with me. I'm like, now I'm interested. Mm-hmm. You know, I did. And, you know, I'm going back and forth. And, you know, trying to, all right, well, maybe I'm trying to learn something from this. And all I've learned is real negative stuff. And it's like, you know, so if that's what I was supposed to learn, like, was I really, really, really good before? And now I'm going to, like, back on this stuff.
I don't think it's like to rebalance, you know, when you created positives. But I can answer you in a couple of ways on this, okay? First of all, have you learned compassion for others who suffer?
Prior to things happening, I had compassion for people. After the fact, not so much.
Mm. So it closed your heart?
Yeah.
It closed it. Okay.
Yeah.
You think that's a good thing?
No, I don't feel good about that, but I feel the justice, if I could deal out justice of my own, it would not be pretty.
Right.
So I'm not seeing.
Okay, so there's anger, there's resentment.
Absolutely.
And, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
The karma that the person or persons have done, the negative actions that have, you know, harmed you, will be rebalanced. But it may not be that you will be the one who gets, you know, retribution. It may be that it goes out and comes around a whole different way, but if they perpetrated pain or harm and suffering, that's check mark on the red side of the ledger sheet, you know.
But then your word was choice.
Choice. And let me answer it this way, but let me first listen to what you are trying to say. Finish what you're saying.
No, that was it. The thing part, like, whatever karmic imbalances I might be here for, so I already know what I've done wrong, maybe, and so I'm supposed to be balancing, you know, the poor negative choices maybe that I've made in the past, trying to figure out, man, what is, if I did choose to come back and to endure this, you know, the different things that I cannot conceivably ever choosing to do under any circumstances, because it just seems like the outcomes for me are negative. So I feel that if I make the choices that I could make, then I feel like I'm disrupting the whole karmic wheel here.
If you make choices from emotions that have not been mastered, in other words, rage or anger or, you know, depression, things like that, the choice won't be a balanced one. It won't be, it won't lead to a positive outcome. It's as though you're, look at emotions as energy, okay? And energy, negative emotions are very discordant energies. It's like when you hear music played and it really, you know, rubs on you. So what can be created from that stew of a mix of energy? Only discordant actions, right? So anything that is chosen at that time is going to probably be more of the same. It's going to be sent out as more discordant, negative, and actions that result in, you know, further negative results. But what if you got a handle on emotion and did so by some kind of process or technique where you may need to, work intensively with the understanding of what we're talking about, acceptance and just like kind of letting it be long enough so that you can find yourself in a neutral emotional space. That is possible. That is our work in the current era, is to master emotions and become more awake so that we actually shift. You've heard that word shift a lot, right? And that shift is taking place where you're shifting an energy pattern deliberately. It's like we are no longer just seeing ourselves as victims, as straws in the wind, as people who are buffeted by circumstances outside of ourselves. We are now creating, co-creating reality. And we are deliberately moving ourselves out of a certain energy pattern and into a better one, even if momentarily. Because from the neutral, or even nicer, the peaceful, blissful energy place, you're going to be creating a lot nicer actions, activities, and ripple effects.
But if you don't receive, like, for instance, say, you know, you, if you don't receive justice in this time, whatever your perception of justice is, or whatever you feel it means, you know, I don't see that, like, the thoughts I'm having here is that if I'm choosing to be born, and, you know, that for as far as karma goes, I have certain debts to pay or certain things I need to learn and all.
Experiences, certain patterns that you'll encounter.
Okay. Then if I don't have those and then I'm subjected to somebody else's karma where they're doing something that they ought not to be doing, creating negative things, I mean, I don't see that this is making a whole lot of sense to me.
Okay. You're neutral. You're just going along, and all of a sudden, somebody else, like a Mack truck, is coming along with their karma and laying it on you.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. In astrology, we're looking at the chart, and we're seeing the patterns, and we're seeing something going tick, 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 bing, and that's a transit, could be called, or a progression. And when you see that bing, in other words, here's the fundamental pattern, and then there's something new that is entering it, and bing, a tough natal pattern is triggered in your chart. It comes in the form of something outside of you, seems to be outside of you. The person enters your life, does something to you, so forth, and you think of it as a force that is being pushed onto you willy-nilly. No, it's like this pattern existed at such and such a date in your life's path, things will form. And here's the thing. If your pattern, if your natal horoscope has some tough patterns to deal with, which is where the choice is, they're like oppositions and squares and things 180 degrees apart, 90 degrees apart like that. Well, we could look at your chart when you're an infant, and we could say, well, when you hit age 35, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's going to be a tough year for you. So, bing, 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 you're going along like it's all random, accidental, there is no fate involved, and all of a sudden, bam, it happens. It happens in the form of what looks like an outside force entering your life. It's never like that, Tanya. It's never like that.
Where you're born, you choose your entire life.
Yes, and I said this, maybe you were outside, but it bears repeating. There's a discussion within the astrological community, it's pretty deep, as to whether everything is predetermined or whether there's free will choice. Okay? And the answer is yes to both things. You predetermine a generalized pattern. And it could be really good stuff, too. You have your sun sign, you know, whether you're a Gemini or whatever, sitting right there, and your progress chart, which is a technical term, but that's like a rotation, shows the planet of love, Venus. It's taking, I don't know, maybe 40 years to tick around and reach your sun. And astrologically, that means that you're going to encounter a loved one, a love will enter your life. Now you may be crossing the street and bump into somebody And that's the event. And then that leads to a conversation, and that leads to maybe going out for a cup of coffee, and there it is. So what looks like random events does not look like that to an astrologer. And when you study astrology and you begin to track these things, what I saw was the hand of God. I saw, okay, this is destiny. This was predetermined. Who determined it? Well, I had something to say about it too. I'm here by choice, and I took on that pattern by choice. If it was a very difficult pattern, then you are encountering some tough karma. But there's still choice within that. There's still choice as to how to handle it. How to not make...
I'm so good, but I don't know for the next day. You know, some days that's just how I feel. And when you say choice, I'm like, no way in my right mind would I have chosen this. I
want to address that, but you had something to say.
My question is, so what all you're saying is that when we're in spirit form and we're deciding whether or not to take this pattern as infancy or whatever, so what you're saying is that before we're even procreated and born or anything like that,
we already
see what life is going to be like for us, and we just automatically choose it. So nobody's coming in to encounter and kind of changing that. So where does fate and destiny kind of lie?
Yeah, good question.
The same question is, my father and mother divorced when I was 15, and the both of them kind of gave up on me. So at 15, I was thrown out to the wolves.
Tough karmic thing.
Tough love, which in turn made me very bitter.
Mm.
And then my mom made a quote that I would never get married, and it seems like I have kids, but I've never done the marriage thing.
Mm.
So
that's still resonating in you. Well, she certainly was part of the early karmic pattern. And if I were to look at your chart, there might be things that I could see in it. Like Neptune in the fourth house is, I don't know who my roots are. I don't know who I am. I don't have a solid family structure. It's not always there, but if Neptune was square from the fourth house to your sun, what are you, a Sag?
Sagittarius.
That would be very cloudy and clear as to identity. Or we might see, and this happens all the time, we might see a kid with moon square Pluto, and that child will suffer abuse. It might be physical abuse, but it might be verbal abuse. And by the way, to answer your question, the child does not have free will choice up until the age of 7. That is considered a quarter of the Saturn cycle. The whole Saturn cycle is age 28 to 29. And please read the newspapers, and you will start to see how many people screw up their first Saturn return at age 28 or 29. The right way to use it is to undertake more responsibility at that point. Get married, have a kid, start a business, do something that requires you to be really an adult. But nobody teaches us this. So, you know, age 27, 28 comes around, 29, and we have to cope. We have to figure it out as we go along. I would love to see some of this taught more in the school system and give the kids a heads up with it. But your choice, I mean, your history is very interesting. For whatever reason that you needed to be, say, unparented or rejected or abandoned, that you might go backwards, say that you got a past life regression, and say that you did that in another life to somebody that depended upon you. And the only way to learn the consequences of that, I mean, somebody could drum it into your head, don't do this, it's not right, and wouldn't mean anything. But being in the situation now tells you an enormous amount. So what could you do in a free will term within that pattern? Say that's the pattern. What could you do with that? Well, you become aware, you become awake. You say, there are a lot of kids who experience this type of suffering and harm. What can I do in a small way?
What I'm saying is, if it was at our choice.
Yes.
That was my choice.
Yes. And anything that happens to you up to about age 7 mm-hmm. is, you don't have any choice about that. The rational mind hasn't kicked in yet. You're just, that's, your first 7 years are your karma. Then, as you start to reason and be able to make choices, the next age 14, 15 is half of the Saturn cycle. So then the fullness of the situation befell you. And then the rest of it growing up was, how do I cope? It's like a scrambling into maturity. But once you wake up, and that's what I would say, that's what astrology for me is all about. It's an aid, a tool to waking up, to looking clearly at your karmic choices. And then you can work with them. That's where free will comes in. Then you can decide within yourself not to be bitter. You can decide, well, I have understanding, I have compassion now, maybe I could do something with my kids or with other, you know, abandoned kids. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can now do. Becomes your gift. Mm-hmm. It could become your passion. Maybe you needed that buffeting around to get you going, to motivate you, to wake you up. Say, wait, the world in this regard stinks. What can I do to help it? What can I do to make it better?
With my sister and I, we were treated the same way. And it's amazing what you're just talking about. Each of us, both of us, went a separate path. Mm. I chose to go into psych to help other people who've been through what I've been through, to actually be a guide, to let them know that I'm not letting my past hold me back. Mm. My sister chooses to use her past. I mean, she's got a disability, she's home, but she can go get an education, and she can do other things, but she chose to do a different path, and she's got a lot of anger. I was enraged, really bad, and it's bad for my health, but I chose to learn to make that rage small, and chose to, okay, let's turn this into a positive and help other people.
Teresa, maybe you are an older soul than your sister. Maybe you have more accumulated wisdom that allowed you to make that different choice. Mm-hmm. So the idea of going around the wheel over and over, going through school, learning wisdom, pays off as we face the next dilemma in this life. Mm-hmm. So what you're wanting to do is understand the game. Mm-hmm. That's first. And kind of get on board with it. Accept its rules and its the nature of the game. And it's a game that we're playing. The next thing is to accumulate your wisdom. And you can do that right now, starting right this minute, in the now. Choose to change thoughts, choose to pick better emotions, choose to interact with people differently. Or you can go back into your accumulated lives. You have a sense of what's right and wrong. You have knowledge. It's in there. The closer you get to your divine self, the more access you have to it, or the more it speaks to you, the more it comes through and guides you. So that's where choice is. If you stay in bitterness and anger, rage, and victimhood, it's like a wall, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I used to see myself like in a dungeon. I went through some painful stuff. And there were no windows, no doors, but there was no roof. So the only way I can get out of the dungeon was to go up. And that was a really big part of my spiritual inner work. When I couldn't get out of my circumstances, the only thing I could do was lift in consciousness. And that helped. That helped. So to transcend your karma completely in this life, you need to develop your ESP, your extrasensory perception, your intuition, to hear the guidance. And you need to transcend all of your baggage, your fears, your worries, your negative emotions, and also your limiting beliefs. Okay? Beliefs that something can't be changed, or just your reality. What you think of. I was listening to Eckhart Tolle, and he was cracking me up. He was great. He was saying there are people who are against the present moment, so they're morally superior to reality. And he was going on about that, and it was a stitch, because you can make that choice, you know, whether you reject everything that is or just start working with it. They start, like, surrendering into it. So let's talk about the horoscope. And I do have one thing that I want to talk to Tenny about before we're done, which has to do with all is thought. All is chosen, all is thought. So remind me to get back to that, okay? On your sheets, these sheets, if you don't have one, I printed out plenty. On the front, in the gray area, I printed out, you know, the how the planets affect your karma. So I talked about Saturn, and you find Saturn in your chart. If you want to understand your pattern, you know, and you can look at your horoscope or maybe look it up on the internet a little bit, or get a reading, whatever. But first look at your Saturn, because that's going to be the teacher in this life. And it also shows what lessons you need to learn. So you'll have to find it in your horoscope wheel, in what is it doing there and what is it talking about. On the back sheet, Isabel Hickey is a wonderful astrologer. She's passed away. She's left us with some very good work. And in her main astrological book called Astrology of Cosmic Science, she listed what Saturn is doing in people's charts and what is it a test of. So if you get to know your chart a little better, which I can't really do here, but you know, you could even run it off on the internet for free. There are websites where Rebecca, do you know of one?
AstroWin, W-I-N? Yeah,
AstroWin.org. Okay, so you punch in your date of birth, your time of birth, and your city of birth. That's it, and you get your chart. Or there's a German one called AstroDienst. Anyhow, you can get your horoscope wheel for free. Okay, and then, you know, you'll have to learn the symbol, but usually it'll give a list, and it'll say, okay, Saturn, let's say Saturn is in Aries, let's say. So the test there is of being too self-centered. Let's say Saturn is in Virgo. So you have to learn a test about discriminating better.
Now, is this
like that,
where Saturn is when you were born?
Yes.
Or now?
Stop right there. When you were born, natal chart, what you chose. Okay. So that's why I want you to take this home, because that's going to give you a big insight. If you can figure this out, you know, on the, I don't know how else to do it for you, but these are the, like in Capricorn, it'd be, the Saturn test would be the use of power or authority. You know, you get it, and then what? Do you use it right? Okay. And then Saturn takes a long time to get through a section of the wheel now. So now we're bringing it forward to the current time. And when you have a hard Saturn aspect, it feels like it's going to take forever to get past it. And during that time, you are being tested. You are having to learn. If you're aware of what it is that you're supposed to learn and you work with it, it's going to be easier than if you're resisting it and struggling against it and saying, I don't want to learn that lesson. Stay away from me. So if you learn what your test is and then the duration of it, which is what astrology can tell you, how long it's going to last, when the peak is, the toughest time, you become more empowered. It's happening. You can't quite evade it, but you kind of like work with it. It's like being a good student. It's like instead of rebelling and, you know, talking during class, you're saying, okay, teach, what can you tell me? What can I learn from this? How soon can I make it get over it? And what lesson is it trying to teach me? So that would be one way of learning and working with your karma. All the retrogrades, when you were born, let me explain what retrogrades are. From the point of view of Earth, you look in the sky, the planet is moving across the sky. And it's actually moving around the sun as we are. And at some point, because of the different orbits, it looks like it's coming to a standstill, and then it looks like it's falling backwards. So the best I can explain is if you're in a train and it's moving, and then another train is moving and it catches up and it goes forward, you look like you're going backwards to those people in that second train. But you're not. You're still moving forward. So it's an apparent illusory. It's an apparent motion. And it does seem to be moving backwards. Astrologically, it's very key because things do change in our lives during periods like that. And if you were born with it, you would be more introspective. You would be using those energies more inwardly than out in the world. Right now, we are all under a pattern of Mercury going retrograde. I have little Mercury wallet cards for you, and they'll give you the dates for the whole year, so feel free to take them. Pass them around. As soon as Mercury, which rules transportation and communication, as soon as it went retrograde, my astrological program messed up, my Bluetooth didn't work, I can't tell you how many other, you know, annoying little things like that happen. And when Mercury goes direct, I think on August 8th or something, a lot of things will be straightened out. What I am doing under the retrograde, deliberately using it, is I'm going back and revising a manuscript. So that's a good way to use retrograde energy.
Yeah, I read or something that it's good to go back and finish something.
Or if you're working on, something that was used and you're renovating it or something like that, it's good. Buying and selling, you know, used things is good. Okay, so in your horoscope, the next thing to look at would be your north node. This is where the moon's path crosses the ecliptic, and that's astronomical, and I'm not very good with astronomy. I think the ecliptic is the band that the planets travel in around the Earth. Did I get that right, Jim?
Yes.
Yay! The north node is going to tell you where you're striving, what you're trying to learn or experience, what wisdom you're trying to get, new patterns you're stepping into and want to experience, whereas your south node is where you've been. You can learn a lot about a person from their south node. So let me give you an example. I'll use myself. My north node is Libra. Libra is a sign of relationships, harmony and peace, art and beauty, music, but mostly like loving, harmonious relationships. So there's a lot of work that's going on with close ties and one-on-one relationships, whether they're business partnerships, marriage, or other close ties. Meantime, it's always an axis. It's always the opposite. So as soon as you know one node, you know the other. It's like a bar across the chart. So the opposite of Libra is Aries. Aries is the warrior sign, very independent, aggressive, the opposite of you know, peacemaking Libra. So when I was a kid, I was really fierce and aggressive. I was a tomboy. And I liked sports a lot, and I was pretty independent. And that doesn't work for me so much anymore. I have it. It's like I achieved it or gained the knowledge of what that was. But to be that way, it just makes a mess out of things. So I have to continuously work towards my north node. I have to do this deliberately. But life takes me that way anyhow.
What houses are
they? In the third house, south node, and the ninth house, north node. Ninth house is a spiritual house, so, you know, this is what I'm doing here right now, right? Doing my north node. Right. So where's your north node? Do you know?
Eighth house?
It's
in Libra, too.
It's in Libra. Eighth house is the occult house.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Depths? Uh-huh. Ah, okay. Yeah. If you... What?
Seventh
is partnerships. Partnerships. It's kind of like Libra. So you might have been very focused on your own needs in your past life. That's first house. So now you need to be a team. You need to work within partnerships and cooperate, because that's seventh house. So whatever you did in your past life, been there, done that, and it's not really going to work for you that well. It's like you can tap into it. It's, you know, a body of experience, but it's not where you're going. So we look at the north node to figure out the karma. Then, go ahead.
If you're... You know, you hear people say, well, I was born on the cusp. I hear some astrologers say that has nothing to do with it. And others say, well, you know, you just didn't weigh into one sign.
Yeah.
I have more Scorpio. I was
on the cusp.
24th November. But I have more Scorpio traits. I have very few Sagittarius traits.
Right, okay. Uh-huh. Well, you may have other planets in Scorpio. You don't know. You have to do your whole chart. But if you have your time of birth and you're on the cusp, you're either going to be zero of one sign or 29 of the other sign. And that's who you are. So you might be picking up some of the vibes or the energies of that other sign, but you are the sign that your sun falls in at that time. So it's important to know your time. And my experience is that people are their sign. If they're the last degree of that sign, they're almost maximum of that sign. If they're 0 degrees of the next sign, it's like a new start, a fresh start with new energy. So I think you have to really delve into it and synthesize the chart. That'd be my answer.
Astrologers now changing the signs on the children of today.
How are they changing it? You're not changing it.
They basically, there was a thing on the news about a year ago.
Forget it. That 13th sign and everything.
Yeah.
It's bogus. It's been around forever. It's a like a mathematical way of computing, and it really is not it's not there. It's not there.
Yeah.
You are your sign. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Right.
So I don't know how much time I have left, but I want to kind of, you know, wrap up. Oh, 15 minutes. Oh, boy. Okay. And how many of these little things do I have? I have a few of those. So you also would look at the elements that you took on. Are you mostly earth? Are you mostly fire? You would look on the qualities you took on. Are you cardinal, a doer who wants action and wants to get things done? Are you fixed, somebody who stays put and doesn't like change a lot, things like that. If you look at your Mars, this is the use of force in life. This is your motivating factor. Suppose that your chart has, we call the bad aspects, afflicted. There's no such thing as evil aspects nowadays. They used to, in the books, it used to say evil whatever. And then they would call some of the planets malefics, as though they were bad from the get-go. So we don't think of it like that anymore. But you might have bad timing. You might be full of, like, all repressed and full of anger with an afflicted Mars. Or you might have been very wise in the use of patience and planning ahead, and then you'll have a good Mars. So we can see that in the chart. And if you don't have a good one, you can learn about it and work within it. You know, try to balance it out. Because everybody's got some negatives. That's the karma that you are, you know, experiencing. Venus is kindness. It's the pleasure principle. It's how you enjoy the good things of life. It can also be art, an artistic eye. You may not be an artist, but you may have a very good eye for beauty or fashion or, you know, paintings. You may really enjoy life, enjoy nature. It's like a pleasure principle. Neptune, where Neptune falls in the chart, would be where you are idealistic and also maybe psychic. So, like I said, if you have very nice aspects to Neptune, maybe you had a past life in which you already developed psychic abilities or spiritual abilities, where it comes to you easily, and that divine connection we're talking about is just always a flow. It's always there. So you don't have to struggle too hard for it. But Neptune is also where you can be fooled, where you can be just like overly idealistic and lost in a fantasy. Pisces are ruled by Neptune, so Neptune's an important planet, and it just entered Pisces and to stay there for a long time. The times could become more spiritual, more imaginative, but they could also become very cloudy, you know, and uncertain. Hopefully not. Where your moon is, that's your emotions, that's your family. I don't know your chart, but if I looked, maybe I would see built into it from birth a pattern having to do with difficulties in connecting with family that made an impact on your emotional state. So that's karma, that's choice. And yes, there are people with glorious charts that are very easy, lots of beneficial aspects, no real stress. We call this coffee break lives. If you had a really tough life before and you want to come back, you're not going to want another super tough life. You want to coast. A vacation life. Yeah. And I know at least one guy, and he's like a house painter who gets jobs when he feels like it and crashes in people's homes, and he has no ambition and he's never going to achieve anything, but he's going to have an easy life. It's just going to fall into his lap over and over. So people are going to bail them out. It's going to be easy. There are people who get taken care of by the state or by an institution or by somebody else who have a very easy chart. So it's not always good to have an easy chart. You really want your challenges. Mercury is your mental abilities and also your dexterity. So there are some signs that Mercury does better in. So the mind is more analytical or more organized. And there are some signs that are more scattered when Mercury falls there. That might be part of it. Maybe they do better in abstract thinking or pattern finding, things like that. Uranus is your wild and crazy side. Where that is where you might break the rules or be unique. And if it's afflicted, you're never going to follow anybody's authority. You're going to, and that right there would be a tougher life than an ordinary thing. If you have an afflicted Uranus, and that's what you chose, you want to be a rebel. You don't want to play by the rules. You're usually a loner. Astrology falls under that sign, that planet. So maybe all astrologers are a little out there, you know, doing their thing, not fitting in. But it's very unconventional and it's very unique. In your horoscope, you will have patterns called trines and sextiles. These are where the energy flows easily. These are 60 degrees apart, 120 degrees apart, and if you played them musically, they would be very harmonious notes. And the energy goes from one thing to another, and it, when you look at a chart and you see, oh, this person has Jupiter coming up to a trine to their sun, something nice is going to fall into their lap, maybe on that day. You can actually pinpoint it like that. It's going to be success. It's going to be a blessing. People say, should I play the lottery? I say, if I knew how to get lotto numbers, I would not be here right now doing this gig. So it's not going to work like that, but it can be something that comes to you and it's favorable. And I tend to try to book, like if I'm going to be on a radio show, let's say, I want to get a good Mercury-Jupiter aspect. I want to be clear of thinking and be good at communicating and stuff like that. So you can pattern it out. You can decide. You can help yourself with your trines and sextiles. And these could be built into your natal chart. These are your blessings that you brought in from past lives, your skills. Or they can be things that form from day to day, week to week. And you look for them and you grab them. And you say, well, I'm going to schedule that interview on that day and not this day. I don't want to go and pitch my great idea when my mind is clouded. I want to go when I'm going to be well received and very eloquent. Things like that. You work with the upcoming pattern. So you have your natal patterns, that's a given, part of your choice, and then you have daily patterns that you can, yes, you can make choices within. And then you also have the difficult aspects called squares, quincunxes, and oppositions. And these will motivate you. They'll create frustration. They'll create drive. They'll be like friction that creates the pearl, you know? If you don't have some of these aspects, you'll just sit on your butt, you know, you won't achieve. And if you have them, they'll irritate you until you work. There's another reason why karma doesn't always have to be all perfect and pretty. It could be challenging. And then it's up to you, how do you want to work with that? What are you going to do with that? If you're coming awake and seeing these things, what then? You know, ignore them or work with it. So you do set your karma in motion by your past life actions. Then you decide when you want to revisit that. And some of it might be good karma and some of it not so good. Like if you're a nice old soul now with a lot of wisdom in your suitcase, maybe from, you know, 300 lives ago, there was some harmful karma that has yet to be rebalanced. So you say, okay, I'm ready now. Now I can face and deal with that because I have such a storehouse now of old souled wisdom. So that's part of the choice. You can soften your fate. You can see it coming. You could see it built into your chart. You can recognize what the lesson is. You can work with it instead of resist it and fight it and deny it and struggle against it. And then you'll end up having, let's say, a less difficult experience from the same pattern. Pattern will be there, but you're going to deal with it differently. Yeah. Wow. So the last thing I wanted to say, Tanya, was everything is really thought form. How we think of it, you know, what happened in the past, what we expect to happen in the future, where we are at this moment, it's all happening in thought. It all exists in your thoughts. And your thoughts are where you make choices. So let's say that the past is the past and that exists as a structure in your mind. But from this point on, you want to create differently. You want to not go back over the same thought loop. You may recognize when you get into it, I'm there again, which is okay, because how else can we ever grow if we, you know, we can't do it instantaneously. But if you think of everything as thought and work to find some way to get into the calmer emotions, and then...
Well, I'm going to interrupt you right there, because now I'm at the calmer emotion.
Okay.
Right? And it's still not good. Okay, it's like, where, I mean, when you asked about compassion, and I have compassion for people, you know, and I'm, but I was a much better person before, and not a much better person, let me see, much more compassionate person, much more patient. For, I mean, I had the qualities that, I mean, I still like me, but whereas before, something, you know, before this other stuff happened with this, you know, is it, it's not just a person, it's an entire, not a person, that's what I was going to use, no. It's an entire group of people. And whereas before there was all the anger, you know, all the stuff like that. Now, there isn't any more anger, and that scares me more than not having the anger, because now, it's like...
You think you're numb or something? Is
no,
that it?
No, I'm past the anger, you know? I mean, I'm angry at other things, so, you know, you might sense that anger there. But as far as that goes, what created all the other stuff, whereas before, I would care if something happened to some, like anyone of them or anything like that. And now, it's like, I could watch them burn alive. And I know I would open a beer, bottle of champagne, and I would watch them burn alive. And I don't like that, but, you know, I mean, that's where I'm like...
Yeah, all right, so it's still emotion. It's just not, it's not like a burning thing. It's not an active emotion. It's...
Yeah,
cold,
I've had a lot of people abandon me. I had relationships, and my key thing was that I was finding that I was sabotaging some of these relationships before they even got out the door.
You were almost creating the same thing over and over.
Until I started with my spiritual awakening.
Well, that's wisdom.
Like the waking belief and trying to find out. Now I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I did that on my
own. Yeah.
But
see, this is so important.
Is the whole thing is can somebody change your opinion? Like she said, her sister is one way and she's another.
Right.
Now, see, my brother went into a bottle of the drug.
Yeah.
Where me, I got very vicious, very nasty. I hated everybody. I didn't have any friends. I was like, you know, I don't want to be close to you because I know you're going to abandon me somewhere down the line. And I can relate.
Sometimes you have to go through it and get out of the other end of it. Sometimes you can't stuff it under, and you can't walk around it, and you can't deny that it exists. Sometimes you have to find the way, or a person to help you, or your own inner strength. And usually you do build inner strength this way. I did it a really weird way. I created my own tapes that had some like lyrics, and then ended up with very spiritual music, and I basically danced and cried my way through some of my pain. And then when I came out of it, it was gone. It was like it is a certain point at which it's not stuffed under anymore. It just dissolves. And you must go through it. So if you need to have therapy or a guide or whatever it takes to get through it, maybe beliefs and, you know, spiritual healers, whatever it takes, because there's some terrifically tough challenges in Earth life. Earth is not a garden of roses. It's a tough life, and the fact that it's all thought and it's a dream and it's illusion, but when you're living it, it's very, very real. And that's designed that way. You come into your birth. What happens? The veil. Where's my tarot cards? The High Priestess. Let me find my High Priestess. She sits in front of the veil. That's your subconscious. And that has access to all the old stuff. But you come in, and a veil comes over your consciousness, and you don't remember any of that old stuff. You don't remember it, you can't access it, and you're like thrust in. Here you are, you're in karma, you're in it, You're in it. Well, how do you wake up? How do you pierce the veil? You do this by these techniques, the occult paths, the wisdom paths, the spiritual work, the gurus, psychology. Something is going to help you pierce the veil of your amnesia and your inability to see, I created this. I'm the designer of this. I'm a co-designer. God's in the picture too. And I'm a willing participant. So now what? Now what do I do next? How do I get out of the awful feeling negativity? So that's the work. And, oops, astrology is one, it's just one tool that can give you insight and guidance and help you to move.
How I got that rage out, painting, sketching, therapy, drawing, sewing, crocheting, anything I just did stuff. And my painting was like, or typing something in where I was angry, I bold-faced it and jerked it red. I was pissed off.
Yeah.
And I write it out.
Journaling is good. Journaling, you can write letters to the person that you hate and then burn the letter.
You can use the straw method or the empty tear chair method.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. I'm getting it out. Or cooked. I love to cook. And my neighbors who smell the bread, I take the dough, I just beat it. And my neighbors would smell the bread and they come, oh, what are you cooking? Oh, you cook some bread?
Yeah.
And I give it out to my neighbors or my rather than now. I make too much and I'll give it to my neighbors.
Yeah. Good soul.
And so we got a tradition now where we share food and we make too much. And I'll tell myself, oh, you're pissed off,
right? Yeah, where do you live? Yeah, right. You know, so you can get a punching bag, you can take a martial arts thing, you can just do whatever is right for your energy to get, like, past that stuff, to get it out. But then start creating from a new place. Start creating from the now. And,
I see the beauty in everything, and even in people I didn't like, I found something good. It's like now I see so much ugly, and it's like that veil has been removed.
Yeah.
Now I see your ugly. I don't see your beauty right now. I'm seeing all your ugly, and I don't. You know, what I just feel like. What am I? I cannot imagine what under any circumstances making a choice to go from where I saw, like, I mean, I don't know you, Jim, I mean, I haven't met you, of course, but we're having seen, you know, the good in a person and the potential in a person and the beauty to now just like, you know, and not you personally, but I'm just here having to be right here.
You're seeing all sides of
it. Yeah.
Turn this off.
Well, maybe I'm going to see the good.